Okay, so before we start, I want to just tell you two interesting things. Last week I said over Shmuel. It's quite well known, but I don't know where the original source is. I don't know where it was first written. That the Gra said of the Sefer Mesillas Yesharim that there's not a single extraneous word. There's not a single extra word. And we said at the time that it's not just like a shvach, it's not just the praise of the Sefer that the Ramchal uses this great economy of words, but it's also a type of hadracha that when you approach the Sefer, you have to be medactic and everything. And then the Gra also said that if he was alive during the times of the Ramchal, he would go all the way to Italy to meet him. So I actually found there are two more things that the Gra said about the Sefer and the Silsa Sharim. So there's a biography called Hagon by Dov Eliach. And he quotes from Reb Lezer Telzer, which is Sheaf of Tells, that there's a Kabbalah ish mi pi ish, that when the Gra learned Mesillas Yesharim, he said there's an Or Gadol Yotze Ba'olam, whatever that means. Some great light every time the Gra learned Mesillas Yesharim. And he learned it 101 times. That's pretty cool. And then I also... My son, the Sefer Leif Sholem, the Joshos of Rav Shwadron, the Magid of Yushalayim, he's heard from Reb Leib Chasman that one time the Gra had to go to the street, Vilna Street, and in order to prepare to go out onto the street and not fall into any pagam, says Shelo Yifkam pagam Koshu, some pagam might happen when he goes onto the street. He sat and he learned the first parak of Mesillas Yesharim 14 times. So those are just some interesting shmuz about the Gra Mesillas Yesharim. Yeah, Dovi.
I also heard that the Gra said that there are no extraneous words in the first 11 prakim. Yeah. So,
I haven't heard that before.
So that's what I think I heard in yeshiva. Now, I don't know if that means like there's one extra word in the 12th and then that's it. You know, for the rest, he just said the first 11. And then we could go hunting for that word, or if just the up from 12 and on, it's just a mess. I'm not sure.
Let's see. We'll see. Hopefully, we'll get to Perek Yubeis by the end of the. I don't know when we'll get there, but okay, okay. I haven't heard that version before. Thank you. Well, we'll have to be the. I don't know if we can be the judge of that, but if that's true, then that's pretty interesting. Okay, so just a brief first chazar of last week before we go weiter. The first thing we asked last week is why is the Sefer called Mesillas Yesharim? By right, it should be called Mesillas Chasidim, because the Ramchal spends so much time discussing what is the Chasidus Amiti. And the first parak of the Sefer says, Yesoida Chasidus V'Shorish Avoidus. We want to know why isn't the Sefer called Mesillas Chasidim? So we quoted from Rav Chatzkel Sarner, Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, that he said that Chasidus is a milo from the many midos that the Ramchal is going to speak about in the Sefer. And he talks about it a lot because the Ramchal was waging a war against the Mischastim Akipshin, the people who don't know what Chasidus really is. People make a mistake about what Chasidus is. But the Sof HaDrisha is Yashus. If you're perfect, you're going to be a Yashar, and that basically means that you've killed the Yetzer Hara. You're not just fighting with the Yetzer Hara and beating him every time. He's dead. He's gone. And we asked on this pshat from a line in the Hakdama when the Ramchal says that it's kavua in the lave of any Isha Yashar, the haschaloisav yisoidoisav of the Chasidus Amiti, which means that any person who's a Yashar already knows the beginnings of what the Ramchal is going to talk about. So if a Yashar is a perfect person, How is that all he knows is the beginnings, the Rosh Tevis of the Chasidus Amiti? So Ella Yashar, we said a Yashar means someone who wants to do good, whose lave is not towards Tov, and only a person who wants to do good, he's able to get on the path, the Mesila, of the Brice of Pinchas Ben Yair, the starting point of the Sefer, is you have to be an Isha Yashar. So that was point number one. Point number two. We read in the Hakdama, the first line of the Hakdama, the Ramchal says, "Achibur zelo chibarti v'lam lebnei adam es asher lo yado, ela azkir mesayidun lam kfar." The Ramchal says, "I only wrote the Sefer to teach you things that you know, not things that you don't know." And we asked, there's lots of chidushim in the Sefer. Tons of chidushim in the Sefer. And so how can he tell me that he only wrote the book to tell us things that we know? So he said, avada der chidushim in the Sefer. The Ramchal himself tells us that. Because the next line he says, most of the things I'm telling you, most people know. Implying, for most people, some of the things are going to be new. But that's not why he wrote the book. He didn't write the book to tell you new things. He wrote the book to remind you of things you already know. Because the basic, simple things that you already know, those are the most important. That idea, you have to hold on to, and we'll see going like this. So we have to figure out now, why did the Ramchal write a sefer to tell you things that you already know? So let's read from the beginning. Omar HaMechaber. Achibur hazeh lo chibarti v'lamed lebnei adam es asher lo yado. I did not write this book to teach people things that they don't know. Elo lahazkira mesa yadu lahem kvar, rather to remind them of things that they already know. Umefursam etzlam pirsum gadol, and is publicized to them with great publicity. How, Rabbi Scroll, Yehuda Cohen, what is the Art Scroll translation of pirsum?
But in accordance with the great degree, no. Yeah. Anything, no. But rather to remind you of what they already know, that is abundantly evident to them, for you will not, in most of my words, am I reading the right thing?
Evident to them. They translated Yadu Lahem Kfar and Mufursam as abundantly evident. They ignored
it. Yeah, they just put it all into one sentence.
They ignored the fact that there's two words. So they're already...
They don't hold of the guy who said superfluous.
Oh, goodness me. So, okay. No, we're not doing that. What is the difference between Yadua and Mufursam, Rabosai? Ramchal, this is Ramchal, Lashitoso, Kidarko, Bekoidish. Always the Ramchal is going to bring two words that are very similar, but they're not. We're going to see this three times in this one paragraph. What is the difference between Yadua and Mufursam?
Maybe Mufursam is something you're more aware of. It's on the front of your mind. Versus Yadua, you know it, but you may not be recalling it at the moment.
But Mufursam, he's saying these are things that you're forgetting. You don't know them. Because they're Yadua and Mufursam, you're going to forget them. So Mufursam doesn't necessarily mean it's always at the front of your mind. Because the whole reason why he wants to tell you them is because they're receding to the back of your mind. So I think the difference between Yadua and Mufursam is like this. There's something, Lamoshal, there's some things, if I give you a test, there's some things you'll be able to answer in a second, and there's some things that will take you a while. So if I asked you on a test, what is the Shitas HaRambam about Bittul B'Shishim? You're going to say, we learned Tarovis last year. Give me a minute to think. Shitas HaRambam, Bittul B'Shishim is Bittul Ha'Isser Ba'otze Miyuto. And it's not an Indian of Nesinas Tam. So you know that. So you're not going to remember it like that. But if I ask you, true or false, Ahavas Hashem is a very important mitzvah in Yiddishkeit, you'll answer that question immediately. If I said to you, what are the basics of Avodas Hashem? You'd say, what type of silly question is that? Ahavas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Halach the Bidrach of Tikkun Kol Amido, Shmiras Kol Mitzvahs. Right away, you know. So they're things you know, but are Mufursam. Mufursam means they're not famous. They're A-list celebrities and B-list celebrities. So they're things that you know that are B-list celebrities. And I ask you, like, oh yeah, I remember that. If these are things that are Yadua but not Mufursam, then there's a reason to write a book to remind you of things that are Yadua but not Mufursam, because we want to be Mufarsam then. But these things are Yadua and Mufursam. These are A-list celebrities. Ahavas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Tikkun Kol Amidos, Halach Debedrachov, Shmiras Kol Mitzvos. You know this. And yet still, he has to write a book about it. So why? Why does he have to write a book? Let's see. So he says, Ki lo simso b'roiv dvarai. You won't find in most of the things I say. Ela dvarim sh'roiv bnei adam yodim oisom. Things that most people know. V'lo mistapkin behem klap. And have no suffix about. Elo shekifi rov pirsumam, in accordance with how public they are, I think, or famous they are, ukeneged masha amitam gluya lakoil, and in accordance with how well, how evident their veracity is. Kacha he'elam mehem motzui ma'od. The he'elam is motzui, and the shichecha is rabba. What is he'elam? What is shichecha? He did the same thing, the Ramchal. He'elam shichecha. Sounds like the same thing. What's the difference between he'elam and shichecha?
Disregard and forgetfulness.
Disregard. You have the art scroll. Disregard and forgetfulness. Okay. What does that mean? Josh Daniels. He'elam and shichecha. What's the difference between he'elam and shichecha?
I mean, according to that translation, I would say he'elam is something that you didn't forget, but you're like deciding to ignore it. And shichecha is something you actually forgot and need reminding of.
He'elama is active. Active forgetfulness. I am purposefully not thinking about it. Like the pasuk by Hashava Saveda, lo sucha lisalem. Do not ignore it. To ignore something is active. To forget something is passive. So now look what he did. He said, kifi rov pirsumam, the first thing in the sentence is, in accordance with how mefursim they are, and in accordance with how true they are, the he'elam is motzui, and the shichecha is rabba. So I think mefursim and ha'alama go together, and mashamitam gluya lakol and shichecha go together. And it works like this. The more mefursim something is, the less you have to think about it. I know that already. That's pashut. So the more something by you is an A-list celebrity, then the less it's necessary for you to think about it. So you're going to ignore it purposefully, because it will pop into your head, and you'll say, "Ah, I don't have to think about that. That's self-evident. That I know. I don't need to ponder that anymore." Then there are things that are so true that you just forget them. So this is an interesting connection that Ramchal is making. The more the veracity is true, the more the veracity is evident, gluya lakol, then the more likely it is that you're going to forget it passively. You're just gonna like anything, you know, that you're not reviewing, you're gonna forget it. So what's that connection? Why is it that something that's more true is more prone to forgetfulness? Not active ignoring, but more prone to passive forgetfulness. So let's work backwards. Something more true is more prone to forgetfulness. That means that something that's less true, you're more likely to remember. Meaning something that you're misupuk about, you're more likely to remember. So why would that be the case?
Because you spend more time thinking about it.
Because you're misupuk about it. I'm not sure about it. So now it's like if you have a kasha on a sugya, you're going to think more about it because it's interesting. It's thought provoking. So I'm not sure. Maybe I could say this way or that way. You know, it's something that will be on your mind. But if it's so clear and obviously true, there's nothing to think about. And if there's nothing to think about, then it's very prone to forgetfulness. Yes, you see what the Ramchal did here? He's saying two things. There's pirsum and amitam gluya lakol. Pirsum results in active ha'alama, and amitam gluya lakol results in the passive shichecha. So he says, Alkein ein ha'toelas hanilka mizeh sefer yotze min hakriya bo pam achas. Since the point of the sefer, the point is to remind you of things that you know, then the goal of the sefer is not going to be accomplished by reading it once. You're going to read it one time. And it's very possible that after that one time, if all you're looking for are chidushim, new things that you haven't known, you're going to read it once, and you would have found a few chidushim, and that's it. Not much of an interesting read. Because the point is to remind you things you do know, the the idea of the Sefer is that you're going to go over it again and again and again. So you should read it once and learn things that you don't know. You already know the things in the Sefer. The point is to go over it again and again and again. The Tayel Sayyutz in the Sefer is from Chazara and Hasmada. What's Chazara? What's Hasmada? What's the difference between Chazara and Hasmada? And then he says, we'll see in a second. Then he says, "Ki yizachru lo yadvar me'ela hanishkach mibnei adam b'teva." It will remind you of the things that people forget b'teva. The yasim alibay chayvase shu misalim imena, and it will put into your heart your obligation which you are ignoring. So again, the Ramchal set himself up here. He said, number one, it will remind you. The Toel says chazara and hasmada, which will remind you of things that you forget, b'teva, and put in your heart things that you are ignoring. So if you look at the order of the two sentences, chazara fits up with yizachru lo dvar me'ela nishkachim im b'nei adam b'teva, and the hasmada is a cure for the things that you're going to be misalim from. You see that? So how does that work? What is chazara? What is hasmada? Why is the chazara an antidote to the passive shechicha? And why is the hasmada the antidote to the active ha'alama? How does that work? Yeah, Ethan.
There's things that you just naturally forget. The cure for that is just chazara, to constantly to review them. Memory. Good. It's going to take more hasmada. You have to be more involved in it to kind of instill it into your brain because you've decided to disregard it before.
Oh, what does hasmada mean?
Tamid.
That's a masmid. Ethan Dabla. Oi! The big masmid. Why is he such a masmid?
Because you're working at it constantly and consistently.
Constantly. Hasmada from the Shirish.
Tamid.
Always. So chazar is good. You're going to chazar every little while so that you don't forget it. But hasmada is not just chazaring. Hasmada is always. Hasmada means you're going to always be thinking about it. That is a cure for the ha'alama, for the ignoring. Your brain is going to say, oh, I know I have to have Ahavas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. I know the ways I have to accomplish it. I know. Why do I have to think about it? You're not going to want to think about it. And this Sefer is going to try and get you to think about it again and again and again. Because we're going to see the big avoida in Musar is to think about things that you think don't need to be thought about. To think about things you think you don't need to think about. Does that make any sense? You don't want to think about these things because you think there's nothing to think about, but there is plenty to think about. Plenty. And we'll see. Going weiter. Good. You would have called thumbs up. Very good. Now, says the Ramchal, Vesira, look, in tisboidim behoiva beroiv oilam, if you contemplate the present state of the majority of the world, something like that, ki roiv anshei aseichel, most people who are people of brains, hamahir, fast, pikhim, clever, and charifim, sharp, spicy peppers. Yasim rov hisboninam vihistaklusam. They will put most of their hisboninus, their contemplation, and their histaklus in the dakus achochmos v'omeka iunim, in the very dakistic wisdom, and in the deep iunim. What is hisboninus? What is histaklus? Hisboninus means contemplation. But what is histaklus? Istaklus means to look. So I had a ha'ara. Why does the Mesil Sisharim order things as hisboninam v'istaklusam? To consider and to look. It should be the other way. First you're mistakel, you look, and then you consider. Right? Not the other way around. It's not that you consider and then look. You look and then consider. So who had the art school? Yehuda, you had the art school. What is the, how does the art school translate these two words?
Contemplation and observation.
Oh, first, it's out of order the way the art school is translating. It's out of order. First you observe, And then, yeah, good. And then you contemplate. So what is histaklus? And why is histaklus a mila above contemplation? So I thought of this morning. So it's not a Dover Shaling, but histaklus does not mean to observe. Does not mean to observe. Histaklus, I'm going to ask you a question. Do anyone know what the shayrish of histaklus is? Sachal? Sin? Lamed? Sachal? You know what sachal means? Sechel. Nischal. In Tanakh, it means foolishness.
It comes up later in the Masiel Sesharim, I think. Something with, like, the feet.
Ksilim! Every Mishle, the ksilim pop up everywhere in Mishle. The ksilim. You know what it means? Stupid people. Sachal. Foolish, confused, stupid people. So every conjugation of the shoyrish sachal means foolish, silly, confused. But histaklus, which is the inflexive, to do to yourself, the intensive inflexive version, inflective, I think. I don't know, inflective of sachal means to observe.
Reflexive.
Reflexive, thank you. To observe.
Man.
The shorich, stupid, turn into to observe.
Mayor, from Mishlei, it's ksilim, no?
Ksilim means foolish people.
That's chaf samech lamed. This is samech
chaf lamed. Oh, right. But sechel, yeah, you're right.
Nevertheless, there are a lot of shirashim where we switch up two letters.
Sometimes it's flipped. That's true. I'm not an expert in Hebrew grammar at all, but this is haloi davarhu. That suddenly a word, a shorosh, which always means foolish, silly, confused, now turns into to observe, as Rabbi Scroll translates it. What is the pshat there? What is histaklus? Not all of what we're going to do is this grunt work, because that might get boring after a little while, but like here I think it's very important, because we're going to see him use the word histaklus a bunch of times, and we need to know what it means in the Ramchal's lexicon. So I think histaklus, which is the reflexive of foolishness, means to understand your own confusion. It means to know your own confusion and foolishness. Is it inflective or reflexive? Anyone know what the reflexive?
Reflexive, yeah.
Reflexive. It's to look at your own ignorance and uncover it.
To reflect upon your own ignorance.
Right. To embrace and reflect your own ignorance. So you could translate as an observe, because observe means to learn things that you didn't know. I'm going to look at something foolish. Who said this? Sachal. Foolish. Where'd you get that from? Google Translate. Okay, good. So that it means to understand your own foolishness by learning. You're going to look at something and realize what you don't know. So hisboinenus, which just means contemplation, is not the same mila as histaklus, because histaklus is the step after contemplating. You contemplate it, and then you realize what you didn't know and what you're learning now. And that's a big mila. That is above and beyond hisboinus. Hisboinus is just to think about it. But the histaklus is then to consider, what is it that you're thinking about? What didn't you know before? What are you understanding now? And that's a deeper thing that you're doing in yourself. That's a deeper thing. Now you're realizing how this is a cure for your own ignorance. That's more personal. That's a bigger mila. So the first thing is hisboinus. And then there's histaklus. I'll talk about it more later because it's going to come up. So let's get back into what he's saying here. So most people...
Mayor.
Yes, Dovi.
Is it possible that the shor... Because samach and sin are interchangeable very often, we see. And it's milash and seichel.
Sin, but that's... But it could be from... It could be, but, you know... I'm not sure. We could say that the letters switched. It's the Shorish of Seichel, and the sin changed to a sin. We could, but you know, I'm not sure when we do that.
More miyushav with the samech.
What?
It's more miyushav with the samech. You don't have to
stretch. I don't know. Let's see. L'chayr, it's more dochuk to say we're going to jump immediately to say the shorish flipped. And they say, no, it is the shorish of sachal. You don't know?
It samach and sin are really, really interchangeable.
You're right. Look, I'm not a Hebrew teacher. I hear. But I think, look, it's not a bad vort. I think, and at least in the Ramchal, you do see that. He stakus is a mile above hisbonus. It's a mile above contemplation. And whether you want to say it's from the root sachal or from seichel, I think in the end of the day, what the mila above hisbonenus is then to see how it's fitting into yourself. Not just to contemplate something, but then to figure out what are you gaining now? What are you learning now that you didn't have before? So he says most people who are smart people b'teva, they're going to go towards dakos hachmos. They want to learn. If you're smart, you want to invest your energies and your abilities and skills into serious endeavors. If you're a smart person, you want to use your brain. So these people are involved in dakus hachachmos, ish kefi netiyas sichloi v'chishkoy ativi, everyone according to the way their brain works. Netiyas sichlo meaning how the way you think. And your chishko hativi. We have 10 minutes. This meeting will end in 10 minutes. Okay. Ki yesh she... What happened here? Yesh yitrichu ma'oi b'mechkar habriya v'ateva. Acherim yitnu kol yunum l'tchuno l'handosa. Acherim l'melochois. And then acherim yikansu yosa l'koydish. Then there are people who go more towards the koydish. The Hainu Limra Torah Kedosha, Mehem Bepilpuli Halachais, Mehem Bemidrashim, Mehem Bepiske Hadinim. Achmeat, just a quick ha'ara. What does he mean when he says Va'acherim Yikansu Yoiser L'Kodesh? How does the article translate that? Others go more into the holy. So what does he mean by that? Does he mean that the other things are holy, but this is more holy? Other people go more into more holier things.
They say further into the holy, into the realms of holiness.
Further into the realms of holiness. Okay. I don't know if that helps.
Torah Umada?
No, so I think what he means is even smart people are going to spend their time learning Torah. So some people, they'll spend most of their time learning these types of chachmois. But they're going to have time to learn Torah. And other people do more Torah, more Kodesh than the other people are going to do. And they spend most of their time on, they're the Yungalite who are spending most of their time learning Kupuli Halachis, Midrashim, Piskei Dinim, but Ma'atim Yumina Minazah, Shehik Ruin, Relimur Al Inyan, Shleimu Savoid. Very few people are Koveya Iyun and Limud on the Shleimu Savoid. Ala Ahava, Vala Yira. So I think we should stop here because we only have 5 minutes left. But I want to be mayor something, and we'll talk about it more next week. Michal is now going to speak about how the Inyone Shleimus Avoida need Iyun, which I think means deep thought, contemplation. So, and he's going to explain that these aren't things that are mutboim b'leva adam. They're not things that are natural. They need real work. So now, if we go back to the Hakdama, where he says most of these things are things that you already know. If they are things that you already know, then all they need is chazar and hasmada, not iyun. If his sefer is a sefer that's showing you iyun, into the Inyani Shleimus Avoida. And he's telling you that most people don't do this type of Iyun. Then we're back to our original question. This sefer has things that people don't know. It's the iyun that you're not doing. And if it's the iyun that you're not doing, then this sefer is not just reminding you of things that you don't know. It's teaching you to do the iyun that you're not doing. So originally we asked, how could he say the sefer is teaching you things you don't know? It's reminding you things you do know, they're chidushim. So we dealt with that problem. But now we have a bigger problem. Now that Ramchal is saying that the what you need to do in the for Shleimus Avoida is to be ma'ayin, iyun. And this sefer is going to show you how to do the iyun in the Shleimus Avoida. If that's what the Ramchal is saying, people aren't doing the iyun, and this sefer is showing you the iyun, these are not, again, these are things you don't know. And why did he just say a second ago that the whole this book is just for Chazar and Hasmada? It's not for Chazar and Hasmada. It's for iyun. Everyone hear the kasha? Okay, that's for next week. I can't answer it in 2 minutes. That's
the cliffhanger.
What?
The cliffhanger.
Yeah, but that I think you you have to be ma'ayin in this because this is a big, this is very important. Whatever the answer to this is, it's very important going forward in the Hakdom, the whole Sefer. It's very esoteristic in how to understand Mussar. So if you have time, I really would suggest, think about this for a moment. Why is Ramchal saying that what he's providing you in the Sefer is Chazar and Hasmada? But at the same time, he's telling you what you have to do in Shleimus Avoid is Iyun. How do those two things stem? Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.